Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're doing hour number two. And just a real quick mention about that last commercial you heard about the Republic Trading Group. I think pretty much everybody understands that diversifying your immediate wealth into some other negotiable, fungible medium is a really good idea right now. If all of your purchasing power is in this pretty printed piece of paper called the Federal Reserve Notes, if there is a major collapse or hyperinflation, which we're already into, having an alternative wealth preservation device mechanism, it really makes a lot of sense. I know a lot of people have been watching silver going up and down and going up and down and going up and down, and I know there are a lot of people who buy silver and gold and I guess now copper for potential investment and profit making. But you know something? Even setting aside the idea whether or not you will actually make or lose a little bit of money in the transition into these metals, the idea is that the metals are always going to hold their value, where the dollar, the paper dollars, the fiat currency, the counterfeit, the legalized counterfeit currency called the Federal Reserve Note, could and probably will evaporate somewhere down the road. I have a collection of paper money that I've just acquired through the years, and it's absolutely, completely, totally worthless because it's from governments that insisted on a private central bank just printing up the money and putting it into circulation, and when the governments collapsed, the money became instantly worthless. And I got a whole batch of this. It was sent to me by people when they saw I was collecting this oddball form of collecting defunct currencies. And I used to have it in picture frames all over the wall and everything before I moved, and now it's just sitting in a box. But I really ought to get it out and start scanning it and putting it up as a display at whatreallyhappened.com. Paper notes, without anything to back them, cannot be trusted. There is a long and very depressing history of paper notes that are based on nothing more than the word of the issuing bank and the issuing government. And as we've learned to our horror over the last couple of years, the word of America's banks cannot be relied on, as demonstrated by the fraudulent mortgage-backed security disaster, which did not need to happen, according to the FCIC report. And, of course, the word of the U.S. government is utterly worthless, going back to Saddam's nuclear bombs. So if you have any extra cash left around, you know, getting into this kind of metals, gold and silver, not even with the expectation of making a profit, maybe even willing to take a little bit of loss from the dealer straddle, but it's going to hang on to its value a heck of a lot more readily than America's paper currency, especially as more and more countries start avoiding the dollar, as Mexico just did only a week ago. All right, we got callers piling up on the line here. Paul in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Michael, first of all, I want to compliment you because you absolutely get it about what our approach should towards Egypt should be as a nation, which is steer clear of foreign entanglements,
right,
but also steer clear of permanent alliances. That is exactly another great phrase that George Washington said in his farewell address. And this is the problem. And, you know, when you start to not like the national favorite, you become suspect. You become a thought criminal. And this is what happens to people who are critical of our excessive alliance and allegiance and fealty towards the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we become criminalized. We become suspect. And it's almost as though we've imported the external wars that are going on in the Mideast into our country because
it's like an infection. It absolutely is. We have to take a break here, Paul,
yeah,
for some commercials. Do not go away. I want to pick up this discussion with you on the other side of the commercial break. Jim in New Hampshire, we're going to be getting to you in the next segment. I promise. Drink some coffee, walk around, open a window. No, forget about opening the window. It's freezing out there. But we will be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Paul in New Jersey, talking about the situation in Egypt. And, yeah, in a mature world, where the United States government does not have to justify its existence and the high taxation and support of the world's most massive military establishment by constantly tinkering with other people's countries, we should have let the Egyptians settle this for themselves. When the United States was becoming the United States, when we stopped being part of the British Empire, when we kicked out King George III, and by the way, there was no gradual transition, we just started shooting, and when they got tired of being shot, they left. But remember, the British brought in foreign mercenaries, the Hessians, okay? And the American people did not like it, and we shot a lot of those Hessians. Well, if Mubarak brings in the United States, you know, obviously Americans are going to become targets in the backlash. But apparently, this is not important to Obama. Because all that really matters is that Israel gets what it wants and gets Mubarak kept in place in Egypt. And for that, President Barack Obama is willing to sacrifice the lives of Americans. All of the money that is being spent to put these warships and Marines in position for a possible invasion. At the same time, of course, that Texans and New Mexicans and Arizonans are in the cold and dark as yet another killer winter storm that the government said was never going to happen, come settling in over us. So it really is, I think at this point, you would have to be absolutely in a drug-induced state of denial to not understand the extent to which Israel has hijacked the American government to its own purposes. We are Israeli-occupied territory here.
I concur with that. And it's a disgrace. And here's the thing, too. It's led to our nation as a whole nation. If you put our country on a psychiatrist's couch, we would be declared or deemed after an analysis as pathologically paranoid.
Actually,
the psychiatrist
would run out to his receptionist and say, "Get that nut out of here. I'm tired of talking to them. They're crazy."
It's true, because why are we the only one threatened by Iran and not Iceland or Sweden or maybe Fiji? Notice we're the only ones perpetually afraid that we're going to be invaded.
We're not afraid of Iran. Let me hit this point real hard, because this is something that all of you listening to this show need to be thinking about and posting everywhere you can. First of all, the United States is not afraid of Iran. We're like the biggest nuclear power on Earth. If Iran actually attacked the United States, Iran would be a glowing green glass parking lot 24 hours later, and they know it. Okay, Israel is saying they're afraid of Iran, therefore, by proxy, we in the United States must be afraid of Iran and be willing to throw the lives of our children and all of our money into whomping on yet another one of Israel's enemies. And if you notice, it's a pattern. You know, Israel says, "Oh, I'm afraid of Iraq." Boom, we invade Iraq. "Oh, I'm afraid of Iran." Boom, we're getting ready to invade Iran. Israel just goes around saying, "I'm afraid of them, I'm afraid of them, I'm afraid of them, I'm afraid of them," and the United States promptly goes on the attack. But here is something that you all need to remember, and please make a point of posting this everywhere you see this nonsense about the rise of an Islamic regime in Egypt. In 1979, Iran became an Islamic regime. Since 1979, the Islamic regime in Iran has not invaded anybody. Not once. Zero, zip, nada. In the same interval of time, the Jewish state in Israel has attacked Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, Lebanon again, Gaza again, Gaza again, Gaza again, along with the assassinations like the screw-up they had in Dubai, and attacks on humanitarian aid flotillas in international waters. At the same time that Iran has not attacked anybody or invaded anybody, the United States, officially a secular nation but predominantly Christian, has attacked El Salvador, Libya, Sinai, Lebanon, Egypt, Grenada, Honduras, Chad, Persian Gulf, Libya again, Bolivia, Iran, Persian Gulf, Kuwait, Iran, Honduras, ba 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 ba, many times often on behalf of Israel.
True.
So the reality is that the Islamic regimes are the peaceful ones. It is the Jewish state and the sort of kind of Christian state that are going out attacking and killing people left and right. And I don't want to be on the side of a bunch of, you know, Bible-banging murderers.
One other thing, too, though. The Egyptians, it is their canal, and I suggest for them that they change the name of the canal from Suez Canal to Egyptian Canal to remind the world who really owns it, who has the right to close it down. If they want, on a whim, they should be allowed to close down their canal. It's there.
Okay,
canal.
That's
it's their
not practical.
Destiny.
That's not practical, and I don't think they're going to do it. Yeah,
they would want
to. And
make
I don't
money
think. Yeah, I don't think the new government coming in is going to do that. It's like an engraved invitation to be bombed. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, closing the canal will result in an immediate invasion. But they're not going to do that anyway, because it's a moneymaker, and they're going to need all the money they can get, because Mubarak, on his way out of town, is going to take everything he can lay his hands on in terms of, you know, hard assets.
But I just said that to elucidate a point, which was
yeah.
It's their destiny, and we have to butt out. I'm with you, Michael.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Okay, thanks an awful lot. No, I will concede that there is a strategic concern of nations regarding the availability of the Suez Canal. Okay, but I think the concern of nations stops at the borders of the canal itself. And we don't really have any business whatsoever being in Egypt attempting to subvert or sabotage a democracy movement in order to prop up yet another tin pot dictator at a time when, you know, we're supposed to be the nation that supports democracy around the world. You can't have it both ways. And here is really the issue. The United States could very well succeed in forcing Omar Suleiman on the Egyptian people. The United States could very well succeed in obeying Israel's dictate to keep Mubarak in power in Egypt, but in so doing, must sacrifice and destroy America's image of being for democracy and rule by the people around the world. This will be a Pyrrhic victory, because America cannot emerge from reasserting Mubarak's presence in Egypt with its historical image intact. America will lose more than it will gain by interfering in Egypt's internal affairs. There really is no way out of this thing. Unfortunately, Israel's calling the shots, and the U.S. government keeps saying, yes, master, yes, master, yes, master. And that's where it is. Jim in New Hampshire, aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. My brother tells me it is really snowy where you guys are right now.
Hey, yeah, it's kind of ugly out up here. It's that rainy, snowy, sleety mess all over the place. It's kind of nasty.
So what else is on your mind?
A little while ago, you were talking about investing in silver. I just wanted to follow that up real quick, and I had something else to get around to about Israel. But, I found that not only investing in silver and gold, which have their own kind of value, but I found that what I'm doing is trying to invest in any kind of physical property I can, anything that's long-lasting and that you could expect to be...
That has barter value, tools. I mean, that's why that thing about...
Tools,
you know,
bring up.
Tools are a good thing to have. I got an email from people saying, I'm buying up brass and lead, so...
Brass and lead work? That's firearm ammunition. Guns, too? Like
yeah, white
like
lightning.
That.
You know, I'm trying to corner the market on white lightning around here, so...
but the other thing, what you were just talking about the last caller, particularly about Israel and kind of mounting tensions in the area, one of the things I saw, I want to say a month or two ago, I was really concerned about was Israel getting their hands on 20 to 40 F-35 aircraft from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw that as a kind of foreshadowing of what's to come. There's no cause for a country the size of Israel to have 40 of those, except for
Go out and become considerably larger than the size that Israel is right now. And again, if you look at the history of the maps of the region going back the last 60 years, it is Israel that is constantly trying to erase Palestine off of the map. And there is absolutely no question, given Israel's history of belligerence, that they have already used those planes against the Palestinians in order to drive them out. I mean, if you really want peace in the Mideast, we should have given those 40 war planes to the Palestinians. And Israel would have said, okay, we got to calm down here.
Yeah, I'm concerned more about them going after other, like, full-on other countries now, because their whole premise for going after Palestine is that they're not really a country and they can do whatever they want. But when it comes to the other countries, they have to have some kind of justification for going across the border or any of that. And with the aircraft, like the F-35 is the most advanced aircraft, from what I can read about it, that's available in the world right now.
It's the most advanced American aircraft, but some of the newer Soviet ones, I think, could probably give it a really hard time. Obviously, Israel wants to go into Lebanon. They need that Litani River. They don't have enough water to support all those luxurious places they're building for themselves with our tax money, and they need that water. As far as Egypt and the Sinai are concerned, the scenario which seems most likely to me to, if the Egyptian protesters don't back down and let Mubarak stay, and it doesn't look like they're going to, then obviously the United States is going to militarily intervene. They've already got carriers and assault ships and marine divisions in the area, and that group from Connecticut is apparently trained up, and they're on the way in there as well. So they need an excuse that the American people will go for, and I think the Suez Canal, as we were talking with the previous caller, the Suez Canal is the most likely target. If you look at the Suez Canal through Google Earth or Flash Earth, it is very narrow in places. Going through the lakes that form part of the canal, you can see clearly it's dredged out, and the dredged channel is very, very narrow. If a container ship or a large oil tanker were turned sideways, crosswise to the traffic, and sunk, the whole canal would be inoperative for however long it took to get that ship wreck out of the path of travel. Might be a week, might be 2 weeks. And that would justify an American invasion on the western side of the Suez Canal and Egypt coming in and just grabbing the Sinai up to the Suez from the east. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to Brian in North Carolina. Aloha, Brian. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Anyways, I've gotten some word that right now blogs are being targeted by this organization. One of my most favorite websites is uswgo.com. They've just shut it themselves off due to a lawsuit.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people out there who don't think the people of the world should have access to opposing points of view from the government, and there are a great many groups which are aligned with governments and various political organizations that are attempting to shut down the blogs. And it is an attack on freedom of speech. It is an attempt to basically reimpose totalitarian control on the flow of information in the public. I think it is eventually doomed to fail, for the same reason that similar efforts that were mounted by the political structure in the wake of Gutenberg's invention of movable type also failed. When books became affordable for ordinary people, it was a serious threat to the lies that were coming out from the governments at the time, and certainly from the church. I mean, from Gutenberg to the King James Bible was almost an inevitable process, because prior to Gutenberg, individual churches felt perfectly free to just change the scriptures to suit whatever their own immediate agenda happened to be. And when Bibles became affordable, when you could buy a Gutenberg Bible, and all of a sudden people start saying, wait a minute, that's not what our church's Bible is saying. And it created this crisis that eventually led to, you know, the needing to standardize the Bible and get everything all back together, because you can't very well claim to be the Word of God when the church just down the road has a completely different description of about what's going on. So it was a huge social upheaval. There was an effort to try and get it back under the control of the church and under the government. Those institutions that were able to adapt to the new reality of a better informed populace survived, and those institutions that couldn't evolve and adapt to the new reality went extinct. And we're seeing the same process all over again right now. And yes, there is a war between those who want to control what you think and those who want information to be freely available to all so that we may all make good decisions. Thomas Jefferson said, the highest duty of every American citizen is to keep yourself fully informed so that you can make good choices. And sadly, just turning on the TV set does not keep you fully informed in this day and age. Anything else?
Yes. It's not just that, but I've also heard that that the forum Godlike Productions had received death threats, and that's why they shut off their site.
Well, reading the message that was on there, you know, definitely that would be the implication. We know that a lot of other bloggers have been threatened, and, you know, it's happened to me in the way, way past. I think at this point they realize it just sort of ticks me off and makes me work harder. But, yeah, there are a lot of bloggers and alternative sites that are being threatened. Anything they can bring to bear, suits, you know, now we've got the DHS going out saying they're going to start shutting down domains that merely link to copyrighted material, which is bizarre because that would also include shutting down Google and Facebook and Twitter and various other sites. So it's a big gray area. The government is trying to pretend that it's acting within the letter of the law, but we know that they're absolutely not. And so the blogs are under attack, and that's why it's really essential that you support them. I mean, the big blogs that seem to have a lot of money usually have an imposed agenda. They're not allowed to talk about certain things. Huffington Post just sold to America Online for $315 million. They have never, ever allowed anybody to talk about alternative theories to 9/11 on their pages. Even Jesse Ventura was being censored by Huffington Post. And if you want to do what the New World Order wants, if you want to sell global warming and say 9/11, you know, the alternative theories are nonsense, and you know, Israel's feces do not smell bad, you will get a lot of money. You absolutely will get a lot of money. But if you're out there basically working to get the truth out to the people about all of these issues, about global warming is a fraud, and war is bad, and Israel does behave in very questionable ways in the international arena, and democracy is good and the U.S. is bad for trying to prevent it in Egypt, then, you know, you're dependent on the advertisers that you can get in, and obviously donations from the listeners and readers, because the only way you're going to get the big money influence out of the political system is for the little money to all gang together and get together and say, we're going to support, name your favorite blogger. But yeah, it is a war. The high ground for the war for the minds of America is right here. This is the front line in the war between truth and lies. It's right here in front of you on that keyboard, on that smartphone, on that radio that you're listening to. This is the front line. This is where the future course of America will be decided. And it's going to come down to a question of who wants it the most, because the first one to quit loses.
Yeah, totally agreed.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, that's it I have for now, but I just wanted to let you know because it was my favorite alternative news site, and I'm shocked to go on the site and I find out that they're scared that they're going to get harassed, and so now
yeah,
they're down.
It is a reality that we all have to live with every single day. And that there's really nothing else to do but just say, okay, that's something I accept. Thank you for the call. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones. Rand in Austin. Aloha, Rand. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Mike. I love your radio show.
Thank you.
I was just going to get your opinion on a theory I had here. In Austin, several months ago, there were several houses busted for having growing operations. They had marijuana growing there. It turns out that, and this was all in, you know, the mainstream news here in the American Statesman and on the Fox News radio station they have here. It turned out that they were cartel members, you know, that owned the operations.
Yes.
Well, nothing really happened, but they took those people in, and the other undercover agents must have, you know, shook those guys down pretty good or something, because the very next week, they go out and they bust several houses that were cartel operations here, where they had real high dollar printers and computers set up, and they were manufacturing all the illegal aliens documentation they needed, like passports, driver's licenses, whatever else. Be like, for several hundred bucks, an illegal can come up here and get a whole set of ID, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get in any trouble, then, you know, they can just get another set of it, you know. But anyway, that really irritated the cartels. And then the next thing in mainstream media we heard is that a lot of these undercover agents in Austin had to go underground because they were all worried that the Zeta cartel was going to kill their families.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you take this. What that basically said is, like, the Zeta cartel is up here in Austin, Texas. They are running the drugs. They are up here, and they're running immigration. If you look at the two single biggest sources of income that the whole country of Mexico has, number one is the amount of money being sent back by the workers here in the United States. That's their single largest source of income for the whole country. Number two is drugs. The Zeta cartel has taken over Mexico. These CIA-trained black ops thugs that just killed 72, God help you if you're a Guatemalan or a Honduran that gets caught in Mexico trying to make your way to the United States. They just executed 72 of them. There were 14 women and 58 men, all gangland styled in one house, executed like just several months ago. Not one person arrested for that. You know, I think that what's happening here is that the corporate world, the bankers, they're streamlining this whole thing. Like using the cartel, which is basically going to start running drugs and immigration, you know, all through North America. Well, they're already doing it, and it's just kind of blatant, like what's going on here. And I think the whole thing is not only government sanctioned, but I think Calderon is working for the cartel.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Colombia. We always talk about how bad Colombia is for drugs. They actually put one of their presidents on trial for aiding the drug cartels. He was acquitted, sadly, but at least they had the nerve to do that. But there's absolutely no question that here, drug money is enough to corrupt any government anywhere. Go back and look at the running of heroin from Vietnam through Hawaii to the United States during the Vietnam War. And then when the Vietnam War was lost, they started looking for something else to run. And it was cocaine from South America, which led to the whole Iran-Contra scandal. And now we're over in Afghanistan, and we've got these photos of U.S. troops guarding and protecting the opium poppy fields. Now, the Taliban had all but eradicated opium production in Afghanistan. And now the U.S. is back in control, and Karzai's brother is up to his neck in this drug corruption. And, yeah, it is. If you want to look at what's going on with Mexico and what's going on with Arizona and Texas, go back and study the history of the Iran-Contra scandal, where there was a CIA-sanctioned cocaine smuggling, gun-running operation out of Arkansas and several other places.
Eugene Hassenfuss.
Eugene Hassenfuss. Let's see. Felix.
Felix was killed. Rodriguez, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was actually killed in that DC-3 that went down.
Yeah, and that it's a he was legendary. He was involved in the Kennedy assassination and the whole thing.
Well, he was one of Hunt's guys.
Yes, absolutely. And there are all these different code names around there: Operation Black Eagle, Operation Screw Worm. That was the one in Mexico that Felix was in charge of, and it was this whole operation that allowed the CIA to become insanely rich on drug money outside the control of the U.S. Congress. And they're back to playing the same games again. And that is why, when the cartels run into trouble with the police, and all of a sudden the police are informed very gently that the cartel knows where their families live. Because the CIA is able to break into the police computers because of all this total information awareness and just say, okay, here, cartel, here's a list of the names and addresses of the police officers that are giving you trouble. And it is that blatant and that open. When I was back in Los Angeles, I used to see it all the time. Even the best intentioned drug enforcement officer would just be absolutely blindsided by the fact that the other side had all the information on him. Remember how they stumbled across that Israeli spy ring just before 9/11 was reported on Fox News?
I love that.
The drug enforcement agencies were constantly, they'd show up to do a raid or a bust and everything would be gone. They found out Israel had broken into their communications.
Probably through Amdocs.
Through Comverse Infosys.
Right.
And Amdocs was involved as well, and they were breaking into the pager messages and basically identifying the cops and who they were talking to and giving this information to Israeli drug smugglers who were smuggling ecstasy into the United States. Ecstasy is basically pretty much that all comes from Israel now. And South America has the cocaine, and Afghanistan has the opium, and it's sort of divvied up that way. And
these cartel guys, I mean, they're like the mafia on Al Qaeda. I mean, they'll cut your head off. I mean, these guys are worse.
Mafia can't even begin to stand up to these lunatics. you know, because they're using a lot of their own drugs. And my first wife was involved very heavily in recreational drugs. Now, she had sort of resigned from the business when I met her. And it's a really dark story and everything, but she used to tell me all these stories about stuff that was going on down there. And it is just, it's a nightmare. And two things you need to understand. First of all, when you're dealing with these drug cartels that are using their own product, they're not even functioning as human beings anymore because they're that whacked out on the stuff. Right. Second, it makes a joke about this whole TSA security grab your nuts at the airport stuff. Because if there were real terrorists who wanted to harm the United States of America, they can walk across that border from Mexico. There is nobody there to stop them.
Just wrap themselves in a big barrel of marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Take a nuclear bomb, wrap it in a bunch of cocaine, bring it in. It'll go right on past, and nobody will stop it.
Well, you know, I'm the one that called you a couple of weeks ago. I was on the plane going to New York when and Police Chief Acevedo from Austin, who was cherry picked basically by some think tank out of East L.A., was standing behind me on the plane, and he told me he was going with a delegation to Israel. You wouldn't believe it. I haven't seen one word about that in the news, in the media at all, that he was even over there. It's like nobody even knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And the day I got back from New York, I was over there for about a week. I get back and I open up the American Statesman, which is like, you know, their main newspaper here.
Yeah.
And there's an article in the front section about how Austin now has, check this out, 23 aerial drones that fly around spying on Austin citizens. They've got 50 pilots. This is the Washington Post. I googled it up and found a Washington Post article that was just recently published about that article, and it said they're concerned about privacy issue. When the Post is worried about privacy issues, you know something's, you know, run amok here. But Austin is, I think, the, you know, like the kind of testing grounds for this whole new world order. I mean, it's like we've got spherical cameras, 360 cameras on every intersection in this town now, and now we've got 23 drones with 50 pilots. 50, 50
pilots. Well, here's
pilots.
My question. Okay, why are they spending this kind of money to put these drones over the city of Austin instead of along that border with Mexico? And, of course, obviously that's a rhetorical question because, you know, under the guise of terror and drug and everything, we live under a government that is terrified of the American people. They're looking at what happened in Egypt. They understand it's going to have to happen here because the money addicts will not change their behavior. They won't back off. I meant to get to this story in Ireland today. I'm going to have to take it into tomorrow's show, where basically the incoming government of Ireland is saying we're going to let the bondholders and the bankers go bust rather than loot the people. And the head of the European Union's central bank, their version of the Federal Reserve, has come in and said, you absolutely will not. I don't care if the Irish people are starving to death in the alleys. You will make good on all of the loans that the IMF forced on you. And it's just, it's coming down to a war between the rich and the poor. And the rich have got all the weapons, but the poor are really ticked off.
Well, and there's a lot more poor than there are super rich.
There absolutely is. And, you know, the super rich would think, I've got the money, I can hire all the soldiers I need to go out and kill the poor. But the failure of that is people who are fighting for their lives and their loved ones within view are going to be far more effective soldiers than those who are just there to pick up a fast buck. That's the lesson that we learned.
And even the guys picking up the fast bucks, they're going out into the streets, they're realizing they're bombing their brothers and their mothers, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we're not prevailing in Afghanistan. It's why we're not prevailing in Iraq. It's why we lost Vietnam. Hired soldiers are never, it doesn't matter how much equipment you give them and the latest high-tech toys and how much you drug them up, which apparently is a big problem with the U.S. military right now, is they have to dope up the soldiers to get them to go out and commit murder and mayhem.
Well, that's why there's so much suicide. I mean, you come back from this, from, you know, being over there, you know, blowing up little kids and women and stuff, and you get over here and you got to live with yourself, and some of them just can't do it.
No, they can't. We saw the same thing after Vietnam. It was just a horrible, horrible situation. And yeah, and our government doesn't really, you know, care about these kids coming back home. They'll spend all the money to run them through 8 weeks of basic training to turn them into psychotic killers, and they don't spend a single penny helping them readjust to normal society, and they just completely fall apart. And again, the whole issue here is that we're not able to prevail in Afghanistan. I think we're losing in Iraq, despite all the talk about permanent bases there and everything, just like we lost in Vietnam. Because when you're paying people to invade other people's homes and take it away from them, the people trying to defend their homes, and that's all they've got, and they can lose it all, they're going to fight with a tremendous amount of fury. And they're not going to fight the war that you have planned to fight. They're going to go unconventional, which, again, that's why we lost in Vietnam. It's why we're not able to prevail in Afghanistan any more than the USSR did.
We've been in Afghanistan fighting over there for twice as long as we were in World War II. And were you the one that was talking about how Afghanistan was actually on the books for troop mobilization the day before 9/11 happened?
Yeah, there was a plan to invade Afghanistan before 9/11 happened. The United States government was informing other governments around the world of the plan to invade Afghanistan in October 2001. In March and April, it was in the BBC, it was in Jane's Defense, it was in all these media around the world, except here in the United States, where we were getting all Gary Condit all the time. You know, where was Chandra Levy? It was a sex scandal, and basically the
boogeyman du jour.
Yeah, we call it, you know, we call it conditizing now, where the media goes out and gives you something, little tawdry sex scandal, to try and hold your attention so you're not paying attention to what the government is really doing. It's like this thing with all these ambassadors called in from 260 countries around the world. That's a lot of money to haul those people around the planet for a private meeting in Washington, D.C. They're not doing that to discuss the company picnic. Something big is in the works. I've had readers emailing me all day long about how Associated Press is doing all these stories about Holocaust this, and Dumnyanyuk is in the news again, and we were noticing over this last weekend, again, History Channel with all the Hitler this and Nazis that. And anytime they start flooding the media with Nazis and Hitler, it means Israel is getting ready to unleash something really, really bad on the world.
Yeah. People don't realize that, you know, I mean, like, I've got, my wife's brother is a dentist here in Austin, and he's Lebanese. He's Christian. You know, at least 50% of the people in Lebanon are Christians. You know, they don't really like Hezbollah, but, like, when the Israelis start dropping cluster bombs on them, they're not being discriminate and just killing Hezbollah. They're killing all kinds of people.
They were killing the UN observers last time. I mean, you know, and anybody who complained about it said, oh, you're just being an anti-Semite.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't talk about Israel's foreign policy without being accused of being a Jew hater.
Well, you know, we can't criticize Hitler without being accused of being a German hater, so it all works out.
Yeah, you know, people, you know, look at me sometimes and go, Rand, if I start ranting about, you know, the fact that Elliot Abrams is running our foreign policy in the Middle East, you know, and they don't even know who the guy is, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like, well, if you hate our government, you hate our country so much. I don't hate my country. I do hate my government, but I love my country. I love my country enough to talk about it and to not just sit by like some sheeple and, you know, just let this thing go by without at least speaking my mind about it. No, it's more important that we all stand up and shove it up there, you know what, because that's who cares about things, you know. It's like, you know, don't let people say, give you that love it or leave it crap, because, you know, the fact that you love it is why you're speaking up about it.
They're trying to wrap the mass murderer in a flag. I love my country, or at least I love the country I was told that I lived in, the one that's described in the Declaration of Independence, the one that is in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, at least as far as the 13th Amendment. Okay? I love that country enough to save it from the money addicts.
Right.
And the hallucinated religious fanatical people who think holy war on other people's lands is their path to whatever heaven they think they're going to go to. But I do love my country, and very, very much so. And I miss what it used to be. I remember back, you know, in the 1960s at the heyday of Apollo, just this sheer joy at what a wonderful nation we were in.
And as long as you weren't black.
Yeah, as long as you weren't black or Vietnamese. And, you know, and you could feel good about the nation, and we've lost so much. And part of it is, yeah, there was a dark side to the nation even then that most of us did not see, because we did not have an internet and an alternative media. And
the CIA wasn't slowing down in those days either.
Well, the FBI's COINTELPRO program was very successful in marginalizing and sabotaging those who were trying to speak out about you know, the unfair attacks on the civil rights movement, the attacks on the early feminists, the attacks on the Native Americans, and, of course, the war in Vietnam. These days, it's a very, very different environment. The fundamental nature of the flow of information through society has changed dramatically. And again, I think our hope for a future in a better America is that the government and the corporate media and the religious institutions still don't quite grasp how very different the info environment is. And they're still trying to play the game by the rules that worked at the height of the Cold War, including setting up very obvious phony information sources in an attempt to distract us, like WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. By and large, though, I don't think it's working. In the long run, we are going to see a whole new age come about where governments are just going to have to live with the reality that it's not as easy to fool the people as it was back in the days of Ramses the Great. Rand, thank you for the call. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the closing segment of our show.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And getting back to Egypt, I had so much other stuff I wanted to talk about today, but we'll just have to take it into tomorrow. We are getting reports that the Egyptian police, Mubarak's police, are using live ammunition on the protesters, not just rubber bullets, not just the tear gas they got from Israel and the United States. Apparently down in Helwan, south of Cairo, that whole area, they call it the New Valley, southwest of Cairo, protesters were basically asking that certain people in the local government that they feel have been abusive of the Egyptian people be removed, and they got into a fight. Live ammunition is being used, and this is happening in several areas. As a result, we're now getting stories that protesters are starting to attack and burn the police stations in many of the Egyptian provinces. Obviously, I understand the rage. Mubarak's people started the violence, and there comes a point where even Gandhi is going to say, screw it, kick him in the balls. But obviously, if violence starts to spread, this plays right into the hands of Mubarak and the United States. Obama is looking for anything to happen that he can use as an excuse to send in the Marines and somehow be able to convince the American people that crushing a pro-democracy movement is somehow consistent with a nation founded on the principles of democracy. He's looking for that excuse. Now, another story is surfacing that we all need to be aware of. Pretty much all observers are saying that the buildup to this explosive situation in Egypt actually began with the bombing of a Coptic church in Alexandria on New Year's Eve. 24 people were killed, and it was blamed initially on Muslims. Gee, does that sound familiar, right? It now turns out the former Egyptian interior minister carried out the bombing, working for Mubarak, in an effort to diffuse anger at the government by tricking the Christians and the Muslims into fighting each other. Does this also not sound familiar? We've seen that in the United States government for decades. Get the blacks fighting against the whites, getting the women hating the men, getting the young angry with the old, keep them stirred up, divide and conquer. Do anything you can to prevent the people from coming together and realizing they are a people, and that the common enemy of all the people are the money addicts. Now, as word of the fact that Mubarak's interior minister set off the bomb, the anger that they tried to generate between the Muslims and the Christians has evaporated. And as we reported yesterday, Christians are joining the Muslims in the protests against the government. So this thing is going to continue to grow. As I said, the wild cards in the situation right now is the U.S. government clearly is looking for a reason, a justification that they can send in the troops without appearing to be anti-democratic. But they are. Any attack on Egypt's democracy movement by the U.S. government is an attack on democracy itself. It is treason against the founding principles of the United States of America and should be regarded as such by Americans. That's it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock Central here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay well, be very careful on these winter roads, and aloha, America.